Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Testing, 1, 2, testing. I think we're good.
Is it nice to be back with your computer?
Yes, I recorded on an iPad last week and
it's very stressful.
Kept like stuff in, and then what I realised in the iPad is that if you leave the app, it automatically stops working.
Mm.
Not all apps, but just GarageBand in particular. Mm. You can't split the screen and look at something on the internet as well as that.
Oh, I love it when you come close to the mic.
Which you'd think, you know, for a sophisticated piece of equipment like the iPad Pro, it's an absolute like rubbish thing that could happen. You know, it's like it's supposed to be a professional piece of equipment.
I sometimes feel like they do that. They make it so that there are still things that go wrong. Mm. So when they do bring out a new iPad and they go, we've done this thing, you're like, yes, I've been waiting for you to do that thing for 3 years.
Yeah.
Do you know the other thing that's ridiculous? Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, is that you can't go live on Instagram on an iPad.
You used to be able to. All my lives were on the iPad. And for whatever reason...
It's not us either. I've checked with everybody. They can't go live on their iPads.
I managed to reverse it at some point and then it flipped back. I don't know. I did something where, you know, I rebooted it, deleted the app, reinstalled the app, logged in from another account, and it came back and then it disappeared again. But Apple and Instagram, like, can Elon Musk not buy Instagram now, please, and fix that?
Yeah, but look what you did to Twitter. That wasn't good.
It's not fixed yet, I think.
No, it's not. So we can't have Twitter not working and Instagram. Hold your horses. I need him to prove that he can do something good with Twitter before he's allowed anywhere near Instagram.
Yeah. The interesting thing, there's something in China, I think, called WeChat.
Yes.
Which is an app that integrates social media and messaging and all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And we don't have WeChat here.
I believe he wants to turn Twitter into WeChat?
He wanted to create a WeChat, because obviously he uses that when he's over there in the Far East, I think. And he's saying, I don't understand why we don't have that here, why nobody's doing it. And I think he was going to try and create it, but then he thought, well, if I just buy Twitter and turn Twitter into that, then build it. But so I think his plans for Twitter are to do something different with it than what currently exists.
Well, good luck with that, because the people that use Twitter...
I am
one of those people, you know, like, don't mess with me. I would like to be able to do more with it, but I think if he's going to do that, he just needs to tell us his plans.
Mm-hmm.
He
has said that many, many times. I want WeChat, basically.
I haven't heard it.
He needs to
get out there more. Yeah, but you listen to him quite a bit. Think about all the Twitter users who don't like him. They're not going to go out of their way to listen to him.
Mm.
That he needs to get that message out there on a much broader scale of what is happening to Twitter. Can you tell him? Yeah.
If you met Elon Musk, would you be like freaked out?
No.
No. Okay. I just wondered, like, what's his status like? I saw him at.
A
World Cup football.
I'd like to say hello and
all the crowd.
I think he's
an
interesting person. Mm. I think he's. I think he's possibly quite lonely.
Yeah, he did say in an interview, it's not nearly as much fun as you think it is being me.
No, and that are quite isolating, and people can't talk to you about just normal stuff. You kind of want, you know, I would say the closest that I've like met anybody is Fabrice. I'd say he's like my closest sort of thing to Elon Musk.
He was quite interesting, wasn't he?
Fabrice... It was just super interesting and fun to talk to.
In fact,
I would imagine his life is...
You can go to fabricegrinder.com, can't you, and have a look at his blog.
His blogs are mad, aren't they?
They're public, though, right?
I think they are. And it's Fabrice his finger on the pulse of what's coming. I mean, he spends, like, weeks at a time with 30 people trying to figure out the future of the world, like what's happening.
This was an entrepreneur guy that we met who'd made a lot of money in the 90s and is now spending most of his life trying to, as he says, in his own words, trying to make the world a better place through ideas and engineering and science and tech and stuff like that. But he's very interesting. But his blog's very interesting.
But his blogs are quite complicated and mind-bending.
Yeah, he's got a very complex brain, yeah. I think, hasn't he?
But and even when you look at his year, sorry, darling. Right. Oh, I called you darling. I don't think I've ever done that. Hello, darling. Well, that's quite weird. Anyway, at New Year's Eve or sort of around Christmas time, he went through his year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, what that man did in a year.
Yeah, it's like one of my reels.
Yeah. Yes, your reels are amazing. You do so much in a day.
Yeah, well,
it's quite fantastic.
Yeah.
But you're right, FabriceGrinder.com is a good one.
Oh, no, or if you look at his Wikipedia page, it's quite interesting as well, because there's a bit in there about where I don't know if it's true or not, but he basically sold everything he owned, bar a watch or something like that.
If we see him again, we should ask him. That sounds fascinating.
Sold houses and cars and everything, and basically
just... I think he did tell us that.
Just lived with friends and stuff.
Yes, and he rents.
Yeah.
Or he rents. He doesn't own anything.
Mm, just thought he'd give it all up. It's quite an interesting thing to do, I guess, if you've got millions of pounds.
I personally speaking, someone who's always been very worried about
where you end up,
where I end up, that would be the bravest thing in the world.
Yeah, just
for
free
me
yourself
to do.
Of all of that.
Yeah. I love the idea of it.
For a year.
Well, when you hear people that go away on a boat,
yeah,
and they sell everything and they buy a little boat and off they go.
Mm.
Wow,
it's quite amazing. Isn't
brave and fun.
I don't know how we ended up talking about this.
No, me either.
We drifted slightly.
But this is why I love this podcast.
I was going to add something else when you went. Oh, sorry, darling.
FabriceGrinder.
Yeah, no, I know what it was. I worked with Joanna Lumley this week.
Oh.
And when you went, darling, you sounded just like Joanna Lumley, yeah.
Maybe it's because I think you want me to be a bit more Joanna Lumley.
When I met her, she went, oh, hello, darling. I was like, hi, Joanna. And it was very nice. She remembered my name instantly and then used it all day. It's very good when people do that.
She is really beautiful, isn't she?
Gorgeous, yeah.
I mean, not just sort of visually, but kind of oozes a sort
of there's a very
something.
Sexiness about her. Yeah.
Sexy, confident, still working like
and
a maniac.
Loving working. I think
and
that's
loves
what was
it, yeah.
nice to be around her, because she's in her mid-70s, I think. And Dan Kennedy, the photographer, was like, oh, what are you doing this week? And she said, working, darling, working, working, working. Always
great.
Working, you know.
I'm just looking it up.
And then she just said, I love it. I love working.
Yeah, I mean, we are so lucky. Mm. Oh, she's 76.
76.
God, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's she's good. And she was really good fun. It was a shoot for Good Housekeeping magazine, which you'll see probably in the next month or two. It was a front cover and some pics. But I worked with Dan Kennedy, and it was his 51st birthday. Dan Kennedy's a great photographer, by the way. You can Google him.
He's also definitely worth a Google. His work, Dan Kennedy, in fact, on Insta is really good as well.
It was his 51st birthday dance.
On that day?
Yeah, on that day.
It's an odd number. I don't like odd numbers, apart from 55, which I am now.
Okie dokie.
I'm going to talk about something straight away.
Should we start?
Me.
Go on.
I'm starting. Me.
We talk about you.
Doof.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just showed this website to you. I don't know how I came across it.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I don't know where... There's two me's. There's none me.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the clothes that I wear on Long Lost Family.
Mm-hmm.
I have two wardrobes. I have that wardrobe
mm-hmm.
where I look quite sensible. I do love a blazer and a polo neck jumper
mm-hmm.
and a pair of jeans. Sensible, sensible, sensible. Which I'm wearing today.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love latex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love fun outfits, that all the kind of stuff that I used to wear in the 80s and 90s when I went clubbing.
Yeah.
So, like, outrageous outfits. So, obviously, there's not many places that I, as me, can go out in my fun outfits. So, I basically have a dress-up box at home.
Yeah.
Which you and any friends of mine, sometimes when we have a dinner party... Like, everybody gets to go and dress up afterwards.
Yes,
we all just go and get changed.
Come out,
And have a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, doofstore.co.uk is a website that I came across.
That's really good.
This person brings together loads of different, fun young people's clothing and puts them all under one roof. I've ordered something from there and I had a bit of a problem because they've said that some of their suppliers have got problems with their supply chain or whatever. And so it's been difficult getting my clothes.
Okay.
And they've said that they've just sent me an email which reminded me to talk about them today, right, saying that they're trying to sort it out, but don't worry, it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it might take a while to get it. But if you look up, there's a birthday sale on at the moment. But this stuff is such a laugh. Like, if you're going to a party place this summer, I mean, this is Ibiza in a shop.
Oh.
It's so much fun. If you've got teenage kids, if you're going to any fancy dress party, it's inexpensive. It's really, really bright, colourful. It's even if you can't buy anything, it's totally worth just going to the website. I mean, there's so much stuff on here that I don't need, but I just want, like, there's a woman's vintage rave pink tulle skirt, which is like basically a belt with some tulle netting on, but the whole of the front is missing. So your legs, you'd have to wear a body under it. Oh, or there's like pink and neon green women's. I'll tell you who would look absolutely knockout.
It's not very expensive, is it?
No, no, it's really cheap.
Yeah.
Most, like, I'll tell you who'd look knockout in this stuff. Carol Vorderman.
Ah, okay.
Imagine the bodacious Carol Vorderman in half. Women's purple three-piece set. It's like a sweatshirt, top, like a skort, shorts, and a sort of jacket over the top. I will never wear that out anywhere,
no,
but I want to.
Sorry, did you say the word skort?
Yeah. Mm. Have you never heard that before?
No, I haven't.
It's a skirt and a short together.
Shirt? No, you can't shirt, can you?
No, but you have shacket.
A shacket?
You've heard of a shacket?
I don't think I've ever heard of a shacket.
A shacket is a shirt jacket. You know, all the boys, like I got for Sunny this Christmas.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got a shacket and a skort.
It's not in my algorithm, all that.
But look, I mean, I just want all of it. And
swimwear is a lot cheaper than Melissa Odebash as
it
well.
It is. Yeah. Thank you, by the way, for my Melissa Odebash.
It's a pleasure.
I got Melissa Odebash bikini for Christmas and it is expensive, but my God, they're good. Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure.
But this stuff is the kind of stuff.
Has it got men's stuff in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to have a look at Doof.
Hang on. Doof, new for men.
Doofstore.co.uk.
I have just.
I'll have a look what I've got.
So a lot of it is outlandish, but some of it is. Great. Quite like these short sleeve shirts.
Yeah. Hoodies, I mean, hoodies.
Oh, these are quite nice. Yep, flight jackets, nice. Bomber jackets. Short sleeve shirts with matching shorts.
Oh dear.
Shut the front door.
Click on them. How small do they go?
Portuguese tile. Only to medium?
Only to medium? Jesus Christ.
Maybe that's just because. Yeah, hang on a minute. Yeah. Hang on.
They go up to three times extra large, though.
Yeah, but they only start at medium.
It's not good.
I'll get in touch with Doof.
Yeah.
Doof, we're going to get in touch with you. How can Michael get extra small?
Yeah, what's
thank
going
you.
On?
Anyway, I was really pleased with that because I'm always battling with myself of what you're allowed to wear and what you're not allowed to wear and why can't you wear it? And even, you know, even if you prance about in it when you put some disco lights on, you know, we're always banging on about a disco light. You know, you can turn any living room into a disco, put some music on, invite some friends around for dinner and have a little dance after dinner. Everybody go up and get changed into your doof outfit. And have a bit of a laugh and a rave like you used to in the 80s.
A doof party.
You could have a doof party.
Mm. Good idea, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, the truth is you can wear what you like.
You've got to have the confidence to do it.
Well, you've got to be prepared to pay the price of wearing what you like, which may well be that some people reject you. That's what people worry about, I think. Is it like, what on earth have they got on? We cannot go out with them again. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You go to work in something, they go, why not even her back?
Do you not find that, generally speaking, when you see somebody with something so outlandish on, you just want to go and talk to them?
Well, we think that.
But do you think other people are frightened of people like that?
Definitely, yes. I think that's the social contract, is that you wear something socially acceptable, then you're accepted.
Mm.
But if you wear something outrageous, it means, what the fuck is wrong with them?
Mm.
They're different to me. Mm. Probably best stay away. But I think also what you do by wearing something alternative is you attract like-minded people, which is ultimately what you want.
Mm.
So if you are wearing something outrageous, an outrageous person will want to speak to you, and that's probably quite good.
I think that's very good. Mm. Do you know who really got me here?
Mm-hmm.
Is Lou in Luland.
Yes.
So we've talked about her before, and she's actually moved back to the UK, and I must meet her. We need to collaborate on something.
Mm.
But she's inspired me and made me laugh, and also Where You're Happy, which is my friend Karen on Instagram.
Okay.
And they wear very loud, colourful clothing
yes.
that says, look at me, because I think in your midlife, you do become invisible.
More invisible, yeah, of course, yeah.
It's just different. People don't consider you for the same things. You aren't seen as relevant anymore. And I'm not going quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I will not go quietly. And Doof just literally relit my fire of kind of outrageous exhibitionism. And I'm loving it.
I've never heard of Doof before.
But
I am
going to
venture into Doof today.
Doofland.
And have a little look, see if there's anything that tickles me fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the subject of Instagram and Lululand, I found an Instagram account this week that I really liked.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you something here. What I noticed last night is that Julia Bradbury...
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. Had taken one of these posts and posted it on her page. Because I'd seen this, and I don't know if I was going to send it to you. No, what I was going to do is see if I could find whoever had made this and make you one. Basically, I'm storing ideas for your birthday now.
Yeah, very good idea.
Your birthday's not till October, but you're a tricky person to buy things for.
Doof is page one.
Okay. Because I like to buy you something thoughtful and meaningful and all the rest of it, rather than just any old tack.
Yes.
And that requires a bit
so
of thought.
Lovely.
So I've got a secret list somewhere of birthday ideas for you already, but this one was on it. So the page is called Vic Muniz. Muniz?
Yeah.
Vic Muniz.
Mm-hmm.
So V-I-K-M-U-N-I-Z. Watch this, though, if you've not already seen it.
I've seen it. It's unflipping believable.
It's so good, isn't it?
Did I send that in DMMMMM?
I don't think so. I mean, I found it the other day and I thought I was going to send it to you and then I thought, no, I'm going to buy it for you because they're so realistic, the way it all jiggles about and everything, isn't it? So that's the latest post there.
It's so satisfying.
So I'm not quite sure. It's a visual artist, this chap, I think he is, a student of media, maker of delicious pasta, it says, but he just posts really interesting things. I don't think they're his posts.
They're not.
But look at that cloud in Turkey.
Yeah, it's a vagina.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know. And this was a good one. I don't know if you saw this, but it goes on a bit. But it's his phone and watch. And then it basically goes on this amazing journey all the way around his house. And it's just
these
like...
These things are so gratifying.
Aren't they just? I always think,
This, so this is somebody who set up something a bit like collapsing dominoes in a row.
It's in the jigsaw. There's a jigsaw one. It's very, very funny. And, oh, look at that. This is projections on the floor for the cats.
Oh, wow. So it's like little fishy sort of spermy type things that are swimming on the floor and the cat's going nuts.
Yeah.
And it reacts to the cat. So when the cat runs through it, the fish swim away. So it drives it even more mad.
God, there's just some really nice posts
I
thought I must give this a little nudge for people because there's some great things. You've seen that one, I presume.
No. Shut the front door.
Obviously, it's a trick, you know.
Oh.
It's good.
Because I was like, what?
Yeah. Poof.
Oh, my God, that's really funny. Sorry, this is boring now because looking at...
Yeah, because, it's encouraging people to go and look at it. But Vic Muniz has got 355,000 followers, which is great. I'm sure he puts the originators of where the posts come from, but there's just some really good things. What language do you think that is? Do you think it's Spanish? Mundo?
Yeah, it's Spanish.
It's Spanish. So maybe he's Spanish, this chap. Anyway, go and have a little look at that. It's very good.
I'd like to talk about something that our friend Joe Killick recommended, and that is a Facebook page, and it's called Spare Tickets UK.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe was mentioning this to me the other day because she was in a queue for Madonna. Madonna tickets went on sale.
Mm-hmm.
She clicked seconds after 10 o'clock and she was 75,000th in the queue. And I said, you know, the annoying thing is what's going to happen now is that it's going to go up to like thousands of pounds on Ticketmaster.
Yes.
And, you know, nobody's going to be able to get tickets. She said, have you heard about Spare Tickets UK? So what happens is people, you know, we wanted to go to the Kit Kat Club.
Yes.
And then we couldn't go one night. Yeah. What we would have done is we would have put our tickets on Spare Tickets UK and then waited to see if somebody posted some tickets on Spare Tickets UK that we could just buy. They sell them either cheaper or at face value. Or she even said that the other day somebody posted on there, look, I'm going to go and see Come From Away.
Yes.
I've got a spare ticket. Why don't you come with me? Mm-hmm. First person to answer comes.
To come. Yeah, yeah.
And I just think, oh my God, it's so nice. Yeah. Bartering.
Yeah.
Or, you know, selling something at face value is such a kind of alien concept now. And it's a really nice idea. Like, you can't go. Just let somebody else go in your place and not try and kind of profit from it.
I was just desperately trying to think of all the Madonna puns there. It was just floating through my head. Like,
go on, give me some.
Desperately seeking tickets. And I was trying to do something about getting into the groove. And then I was thinking about that she couldn't get any in, made her true blue. And they weren't very good, but that's where my mind had instantly ventured into.
This weekend on The Masked Singer was the very, very, very funny Rita week.
Oh, was
where
it?
Where okay. Rita thought that she was doing puns, but they didn't make any sense at all. And the two of them came out in when she was talking to Pigeon. She said one, I can't remember what it was. And Jonathan was like, no, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't even make sense, like what you've just said. And she went, oh, okay, hold on. And then she went, well, so pigeon me this. And Jonathan was like, no. Rita. And me and Mo were just weeping, pigeon me this. I loved it so much. And Rita was like, that's why I'm a singer.
Yeah. But there's something in a pun that doesn't pun. Oh, you know, like it's a double joke.
But this is Rita.
Yeah.
Rita is one of the funniest people I have ever met because...
Well, we know a friend of hers who's also equally very funny, which is Linda, you know.
She's extremely funny. Mm.
So maybe there's something about the culture. Where are they from?
Albanians.
Albania.
Yeah.
Yeah, very funny. But I do love a good pun, but I just couldn't pull one out.
No,
really.
No, but I appreciate... We appreciate your... Hard work there.
Good. Thanks very much. One of the things we did go to last week was the one-woman show with Liz Kingsman.
Oh, my God,
so good. Yeah, that you interviewed her on the Claudia Winkleman show, and then we decided we'd go. So this was a small show that started off at Edinburgh, and then it went to the Soho Theatre, and it's now in the Ambassador's Theatre, and it seems like it might go to Broadway. So I don't know how long it's on for, but if you can get yourself a ticket to that.
It's not on for much longer.
Much longer, okay.
And also... What's amazing about it is that it's produced by J.J. Abrams, who is, I mean, we mentioned this before, he's got that company Bad Robot, and they produce theatre shows as well.
Have we done this podcast since we went to see Liz Kingsman?
No, but we've talked about Liz Kingsman when I interviewed her, and I said, if you can get tickets, go.
Oh, okay.
But we were saying go, but we hadn't seen it.
Mm.
Now, I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the cleverest things I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody gave away a little secret about it at the beginning, so I kind of knew what was happening at the beginning. But if I hadn't known what was happening at the beginning, I would have been like, what? What's going on for the first sort of 2 or 3 minutes? It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't as convinced, but I absolutely loved it. Joel Dommett and Hannah came with us.
Yes, yeah.
And they loved it.
I really enjoyed it. I think it was just... What was interesting about it is that it was obviously a kind of parody or a take on a one-woman show, and how, you know, she was kind of taking the piss out of a one-woman show while doing a one-woman show, and she understood the contradiction that she was part of.
Yeah, and then she would talk about that, wouldn't she?
So I really enjoyed that idea.
Very clever.
The comedy that's within a contradiction. Stuart Lee plays that a lot as well, as do a few others. What was interesting is the following night we went to a one-woman show.
Can we talk about that as well?
Yeah, of course, that's what I was going to talk
brilliant.
About. Yeah, she's great.
Sarah Baron.
Had I seen Sarah's show first and then seen Lizzie Kingsman, I think it would have made a lot more sense to me. The interesting thing about Lizzie Kingsman is that it's a play on a lot of these one-woman shows that have come around since Fleabag, and then lots of kind of women's literature as well that's hugely popular and has been forever, really. And I haven't seen a lot of that or felt a lot of that. And Fleabag was 2 or 3 years ago, so I've slightly forgotten a lot of Fleabag, but also I loved Fleabag. I didn't want to take the piss out of it. Or
yeah, I mean, I think it's a gentle ribbing. It's not she's not ripping it apart at all. It's like gentle. And then at the end, she kind of talks. Yes, and in the end, she talks about how brilliant it is as well. But
had I seen Sarah's show first, I think the Lizzie thing would have made a greater impact on me. Anyway,
I wasn't surprised that majority of the audience were women.
Oh, God, I mean, there must have been five blokes in there all together.
It was like going to a menopause talk.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Mm. Where Sarah's show, there was a really good split,
So
Sarah Barron's a comedian, stand-up comedian, New York girl, who's been over here probably about 10 years or so. She's been a client of mine for a long time, and I'm good friends with her and her husband. But I had never seen her do a one-hour set before.
Oh, hadn't you?
No, I'd seen her do maybe 20 minutes or something like that.
Oh, wow.
I knew she was good. I've seen her on TV a lot. She's on Would I Lie To You in a lot of panel shows and stuff. But, yeah, I thought she was great. I was... she completely exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, she was really, very, very, really good. Funny. It's so impressive watching somebody you know do something like that.
Anyway, after watching those two things, I came home the other night, at Friday night on my own. Where were you Friday night? QVC.
Yeah.
And I watched Fleabag.
Did you?
Yeah, I just thought, I'll put an episode of Fleabag
on. Did you watch the first episode of the first series? Because she did an exact pastiche of that.
I didn't. I preferred series two of Fleabag. I thought it found its feet brilliantly.
Me too.
So I watched episode three, season two, which is the one where her sister has to give an award out at her company works thing, and Fleabag is doing the canapes. But she breaks the award and has to go and find one, which she steals from her stepmom. Oh, Jesus. I just laughed nonstop all the way through it. And it's the one with Kirsten Scott Thomas.
Yes.
Kirsten Scott Thomas.
She's really sexy.
Yes, I know. But there's just these little things where Fleabag sees this older woman who's quite sexy and confident, looks at her, but then, you know, does the thing where she looks at the camera as if to go, Like,
yeah.
And she's not a lesbian or anything, but all of a sudden she's like, ooh, I've had a tingle, you know, like, And, oh, God, and the jokes in it. But I don't know if you remember, there's a guy in it called Claire who's clearly having an affair with her sister, who's also called Claire. And she says, what's his name? And she goes, shut up. And she goes, no, go on, what is his name? And she goes, Claire. And she goes, Claire and Claire. And then
it's the blonde guy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the blonde guy with all the teeth and everything. Yeah, and then there's another line in it where she goes, let's go fucking crazy tonight. And he goes, I beg your pardon? And she goes, let's fuck like crazy tonight. He goes, I beg your pardon. And Fleabag's like, what? I mean, it's just like, they're all so nervous and all the words are coming out. I mean, it's so good, that show.
It's so good.
It's almost faultless. I'd forgotten. And this must
and
be the third time
I've seen
it.
And it is something that you can watch again and again and again.
It's the third time I've seen it. And
once you've seen it once all the way through, you can just cherry pick any episode, and that you can take them out of context. They're all hysterical because you know the context because you've seen it before.
The joys of a brilliantly written sitcom is that you can just dip in and out of it. There's jokes everywhere. And
do you think she'd ever come back and do sort of Fleabag 2.0 with kids?
I doubt it.
I'd give anything to see Fleabag with teenagers.
I think Ricky Gervais and Fawlty Towers and things like that set the standard of two series and you're out. Mm. And it goes down in history as one of the greatest things ever. But if you go back and re-milk it, there's so few that can do it. Only Fools and Horses did it, but I don't...
I was just going to say, Fools and Horses did it.
Yeah, it did it. 69 episodes or something.
Amazing.
If you're stuck for something to watch, just put on a couple of episodes of Fleabag. It's just so good. But thanks to Lizzie Kingsman, really, for reigniting my love of that whole genre.
Liz Kingsman is... a talent.
Liz. I call her Lizzie.
That's all right.
That's all right.
You know, it's very familiar.
Okay. Yes, okay. All right, Lizzie. All right, Liz.
But Liz Kingsman is a talent to watch. She's definitely someone to follow. Get her on Instagram. Make sure that you follow her everywhere because she's big. And Sarah Barron, if you ever see her on anywhere.
Yes, she tours a lot.
Absolutely go see her. She is brilliant.
I'm sure she's got a website and she has also got lots of stuff on YouTube. She did Live at the Apollo and all of that stuff. So go and have a little look at that.
And there's something about a New Yorker in the UK. I love it. I love the accent.
Yes, I know.
And such attitude as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So, I quickly want to mention something that Jeff, her other half, talked to us about.
Oh, yeah.
And that is about the Tiny Desk concerts.
My God.
So, on YouTube, if you look up on YouTube, Tiny Desk concerts, they have, it's a bit like MTV Unplugged type thing, but the setting of it is so nice. It's usually in some kind of, it looks like a bookstore or kind of shop or a library. It's some minute space. And the kind of contradiction is that you've got this megastar in a tiny space and it's looking very lo-fi. It's not like a huge studio with cool lights or anything. What have you just found?
Ben Howard.
Oh, I bet. Well, he'd be amazing. Yeah. Let's listen.
Let's have a quick listen. So the channel is NPR Music. And it's got 7.53 million followers or subscribers. This is Ben Howard.
I mean, this is what he sounds like anyway. I think he's actually at his desk at home.
Yeah, it is his home, so it probably was.
Came in through the wall, looking like a simple.
Oh, I love him so much.
I'm going to save that for the train.
But Harry Styles has done one. Yeah. Billie Eilish has done one. Coldplay have done one. There's something for everyone on there, but it's acoustic. It's often you see them at their kind of most relaxed, I think.
Mm.
But they sound amazing. So Jeff Lloyd, thank you very, very much for that recommendation, because it really is... You know, just deep dive into that and you'll absolutely love it. And like you said, you could download ones. You can watch them on a journey or listen to them.
Download it. Okay.
Is it gone?
Yeah, it's gone. We've had a bit of a mare. So we recorded on Monday. And then when we finished the podcast, I'd look at the recording and it had stopped halfway through recording.
And you know what we're like. We recommend things willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Non-stop. And even things that we haven't written down.
Mm.
And so we've got no idea what we spoke about.
No.
We've slightly gone through the first half. Mm-hmm. We roughly know what we've covered. But
what day is it today?
Sorry, it's Tuesday.
Oh, so we recorded yesterday morning.
Yeah.
It's like about a week ago, didn't it? So the next 20 minutes we've already done but lost. But we can't, because we don't structure this thing, we don't know what we talked about even. So we're just going to suck it and see.
Yeah. And we're going to try and remember some of the things. I remember two of the things that we talked about.
The thing we were just talking about was Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
The Tiny Desk concert. So I've listened to a couple of them. I listened to Ben Howard one. And
oh, that's nice. What, while you were working today?
No, when I caught the train into London after we'd made this recording.
Oh, great.
So it's good. He does four songs all on his own with a little drum machine, though. But it's really great to be able to see the artist do that. I mean, I have a massive problem with playing the instrument and singing at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I can do it.
They make it look so easy.
God, it just falls out of him. Mm. The hands are doing all these technical things and then the voice is doing all this amazing stuff and he manages to elongate the notes and everything. You know, it's, for me, I'm like, dung, happy birthday to you.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
You are the man that does the happy... But we've got a WhatsApp group with some friends. And Michael sings happy birthday to each of them on the piano.
When it's their birthday.
When it's their birthday. And it was our friend Peter's birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he surpassed himself with his happy birthday yesterday. You started with a Beatles song. I mean, it was an a cappella kind of medley of extreme proportions. I was like,
I did good.
You've upped your game. Mm. And now people expect more. And
yeah, that's good. I mean, the pressure's on me. But that's what makes me... you know, force myself to be better at something, you know. So okay. I do it to myself.
You do.
Can
yeah.
I just say what I would like at some point is for somebody to do that for me though on my birthday.
Okay.
Potentially.
Note made.
Potentially, that's why I'm doing it, because I think one day someone will perform a little ditty for me.
Okay. I'm calling Chris Martin now.
Yes.
And
we had a friend of ours,
Ben Howard,
who Chris Martin wrote an actual song for. Remember that when he came around? Seb and Heidi came around for dinner, and Seb had said, "Oh, Chris actually wrote me a song."
Yes.
Seb used to work for Gwyneth Paltrow, I think, didn't he?
Yes.
And they were around at their house for dinner, and something had happened, and Chris said, "Oh, I'll write your song." And he did.
Like in seconds as well, seconds. Wasn't it? He literally composed one of the greatest songs ever known.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love that, you know.
Well, so, point, you know, I've written it down.
I'm trying to do that for other people, basically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to fulfil that role as the Chris Martin. So the only thing, I think the other thing we were going to mention is The Smile did a Tiny Desk concert, and The Smile is Radiohead's alternative
band. I didn't know that The Smile did it.
Yeah, they've done
so
a Tiny
Desk. So I've learned something since yesterday morning when we recorded the first time. In fact, the fact that we're recording it again means that our listeners are getting a better, improved,
more refined
pod this Friday. And can I just say, it will be the first pod of our fourth year of recording
today,
this pod.
Ladies and gents.
Because on Tuesday today, it's our third birthday.
It's the third anniversary of the
Do
first
you remember
episode that ever came out.
What I talked about in the first ep?
Tubing mascara.
Yep, and?
Can't remember.
Bamboo socks!
Doosh! What did I talk about?
Do you know, it was probably something eclectic.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah. Can't remember. Maybe go back and have a look. Or, ladies and gents, what you could do
is go back and listen to our first ever episode.
Yeah, that'd be good. Tonight, ladies and gents, we're going to The Fablemans, which is a kind of pre-screening, because it doesn't actually come out until the 27th, and it's only the 24th today, is it the 23rd today? 24th today. We haven't been gifted tickets or anything, by the way. They do this at cinemas. I don't know why they do this.
We were talking about the Prince Charles Cinema.
Prince Charles Cinema. I'm going to go back to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a quick look on the internet and found a cinema that had a preview for The Fablemans, and that's where we're going next. It is currently 7:30. The film's
we'll
on at 8:30. So
We'll let you know.
This is the new Steven Spielberg film, so go and have a look at the trailer for it. So Spielberg has essentially made a movie of his own life.
It's a biopic.
Is it a biopic or a biopic?
Oh, I don't know. I call it a biopic.
Do you? I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, biopic sounds really like a medical procedure, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm going in for a biopic.
I've got to have a biopic.
Mm-hmm.
Biopic.
It can be painful?
Yes, definitely.
One of the things I know about Spielberg, which some of you might or might not know, is that all of his films, or the vast majority of his films, are usually contain a young person whose parents are divorced, because his parents divorced, I believe, when he was quite young. So the stories he's written and the movies he's directed have always done that. Indiana Jones's parents, I don't know if you remember, but they'd split up.
Yes, I do, yeah.
E.T.
Yeah. Did he make Kramer versus Kramer?
No, he didn't. Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
well,
I think.
Fuck that up.
Fourth kind. Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind.
No, third.
It was the third.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I've just all of a sudden thought it was the third kind. I wonder what happened to the fourth kind. But anyway, he did this with all his movies, but there's a kind of interesting story behind that, because although his parents did divorce, they actually got back together again and remarried.
Yes.
But it was never for the reason he thought they'd broken up. So all of his movies have got this thing in it that was a kind of thing he didn't have correct.
Mm.
So anyway, I'm really looking forward to this story. Spielberg has probably had one of the most interesting and fascinating lives any human being on the planet.
I remember him getting divorced as being an enormous thing. Didn't he fall in love with one of the stars from...
Did he? Schindler's List?
No. From Han Solo, those movies.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
Thank you.
Oh, really?
Please help me. It's so annoying.
Is this your brain fog?
Yes, sir.
Should we up your dose?
Yes.
Yeah?
Let's do it. He's married to Kate Capshaw.
And who is she, an actress?
She was in
Indiana.
Indiana.
Was she? Oh my God, she's in the second one.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah, which is. You know,
I love it when I know something that you don't, but it's always about a girly something. So, oh, sorry, everybody's going to be up in arms about that. But, you know, like when I was younger, I was fascinated that he'd left this wife, Amy Irving, who was also an actress. Do you remember her?
Mm.
She was in. What was he most famous?
Married to her.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
I love all this.
For quite a long time.
Unearthing. It's genius.
85 to, oh, not that long, 89. But she was a very famous, rather beautiful and kind of eclectic actress back in the day. But then he obviously fell in love with Kate Capshaw on a set, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And married her 2 years after he split up from Amy.
There was a really funny thing that I saw on Instagram the other day, which was a little Harrison Ford snippet, which feeds into this quite nicely. But there's Harrison Ford's been interviewed, and he says this, basically comes out of his mouth. He says, after my first movie, I went into the head office of a new talent office, and the talent agent goes, I saw the clips, and I think you should look for another occupation. And he said, the first movie Tony Curtis did, he delivered a bag of groceries. I took one look at that guy and said, wow, that's a movie star. And Harrison Ford said, I thought you were supposed to say that guy's a grocery delivery boy. And he said, he threw me out the office. I just thought that was absolutely brilliant. You know, it's like, yeah, he's supposed to be delivering groceries and a good actor would convince you of that. I love Harrison Ford. Any interview you've ever seen, he's so doer.
He's
like
so
moody,
doer, isn't he? But I think there is a brilliant interview that Alison Hammond did with him
and Ryan Gosling.
He melted.
Yeah.
And he really starts to giggle.
Yeah.
And it really was the best thing that I've ever seen him in because you think, oh my God, she's actually done it. She's got to him. So Models One, I worked at Models One on the men's desk, and we had loads of male models who were really popular, really big. They were known all over the world. They did advertising and editorial, but really at the time there was just one male supermodel, and he was called John Pearson. And I've followed his career. I've stayed in touch with him. We're in touch on Instagram. Anyway, he has started this magazine, basically. It's like an online magazine called Mr. Feelgood. And it's basically for men, targeted for men. It's a lifestyle and life itself. Not only what we wear, watch and buy, but also what we feel, think and do. And it's set up with another guy called Pete Sampson. And you've got amazing people. When you look at his grid, or it's called on Instagram, Mr. Feelgood HQ. When you look at the grid, you've just got some fantastically interesting looking people. You might not know who any of them are, but you kind of want to know.
I love the section on this website, which is Who the Fuck Is.
So it's called
Yeah.
Who the Fuck Are You?
Who the Fuck Are You?
The 20 questions that get to the heart of who we are. But when you go to the website, which is mrfeelgood.com, you've got health and happiness, culture and community, style and substance. Who the Fuck Are You, Mr. Feelgood TV. And the Mr. Feelgood TV is really, really good too. John interviews loads of different people. And on mrfeelgood.com, you've got all of the social media handles and everything that where you can find them online. So I would go and follow them or tell any male mates of yours. It's just a really interesting, quite thought-provoking, really stylish, lots of really cool different types of style on there, and different types of people. There is something that I think everybody would identify with, and you'll learn something.
I'm really enjoying travelling home on the train in the evenings and picking up an Evening Standard. I haven't really done this for a long time. I used to love reading Victor Lewis Smith in the Standard on the way home. You had to buy it back then, you know, it was 35p or whatever, and then they made it free. And, you know, it's obviously the quality of it's deteriorated quite a bit because nobody pays for it anymore, so it's just funded by advertising. But there is still a really nice comment section, opinion piece. But Rob Rinder does, Judge Rinder, you know, does a piece on a Monday, I think, in there. And it's just really good.
Tell me what he was talking about yesterday.
He was very interestingly talking about Alison Hammond. They'd been away on a juicy retreat together, I think. You know, I don't think they'd gone together, but they just so happened to be there. But he just talked about how lovely she was, and how much fun that they'd had, and what a great spirit, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that was really nice. And then he did another piece on, I can't remember, But I just remember getting to the
end. It's nice that somebody else struggles with that, because I tell you what, sometimes I feel like I'm going mad.
Yeah. But I just remember thinking, I really enjoyed reading that. And I've met Rob a few times through you at various parties.
Mm.
And he is a very lovely guy.
And he's really interesting.
What he was talking about was the fact that this whole idea about having a degree and going to university was great. But there's a whole bunch of extremely valuable people with extremely valuable skills that get completely ignored somehow because they don't have the big D. Mm. And this whole piece was about that, which I'm a big flag flyer of that.
If I was an employer, I wouldn't look for people, but I would be employing people into a creative business.
Mm.
I would much rather employ someone with a fantastic work ethic than someone who has got a degree but feels like the world owes them a living. The other thing, I mean, not everybody feels like that with a degree, but you know, I'm going on work ethic, not piece of paper. I went for lunch the other day somewhere and there was a girl waitressing, and she waited on our table. And at the end of it, I looked at the girl I was working with and I said, bloody hell, if I was employing, I would tell that girl to leave her job.
Yeah.
She was called Daisy
and
she worked at Soho House in White City, by the way, anybody listening.
Mm-hmm.
And she was unbelievably good.
Mm. Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? But yes, he was talking about that. God, I was going to say something else then. I forgot.
Can I quickly also just say on the subject of magazines that I would quite like to start up a magazine for teenagers, which is solely on TikTok, Instagram, not so much Instagram really anymore, but TikTok famous people, people that are famous on YouTube, people that we wouldn't know at all. Somebody on the cover of the magazine that is famous, because they see them all online, but there's something nice for a teenager to pick up a magazine and look at. I wonder if they have the same...
Yeah.
Or if they would think, oh, that's weird, why would I want to read a magazine?
Yes, yeah, possibly. I don't know.
I thought it would be a really good way of...
a magazine than anything else. You know what I've always thought is, why aren't some Instagram accounts run like a magazine that have articles and features and interviews and stuff like that?
Well, I think that is.
No, but this is a website.
Yeah, but like... I have to log in. But
oh, well, maybe it is. I'll have a look at that.
But well, these are that you can click through. The reels are like bits of interviews. So you'd have to kind of... But this is a magazine on Instagram, but you would then click on the link...
And go to the website.
...to go to the website.
But I feel like Instagram is a platform that could just house a magazine. Like, you don't need any external bits and pieces. Interviews, chat, stuff you could read.
Where would you put the interviews? How would you house them?
Just on videos.
Oh, videos.
Yeah, yeah. There'd be video interviews.
Can you do long form on Insta? Yeah. How long?
Well, an hour.
Oh.
You know.
Ew.
Wow. You know, because I guess that's what we're trying to do with MD London a bit. Like, we posted a lot of those hair loss clinic videos and stuff like that last night.
Have they done well?
They're done extremely well.
Because they are. I did a menopause post last night, and I've been telling women who go, yeah, but my hair is terrible. I go, you've got to go to MD London.
Yeah, it's done
and then
really
said,
well.
Go to mdlondon.co.uk. Just said it out.
Yeah, thanks.
Go to mdlondon.co.uk, because the clinics on there
are
second to none. They are amazing, and they've got all the information that you need.
Yeah.
So you can discover if you need to take it further or not, or if there's anything that you can help yourself at home.
So we've done a whole bunch on fringes that are coming out for Valentine's Day, not because they're anything to do with Valentine's Day, but it was just like...
They are sexy, though.
They are quite sexy fringes, aren't they?
I love a fringe.
Andy said we should do them, you know, because parting is never easy. Valentine's Day, and then it was something about going out with a bang.
I love it.
You'll see all this in the content, but I'm trying to treat my Instagram account a bit more like a magazine, so it's got useful features and articles and things like that, and interviews and stuff like that. But I thought it was a good idea, and I thought if anyone's thinking about what to do on Instagram, then treat it like a magazine. You're like,
that's quite a good idea.
Features and stuff like
that. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, okay. That wasn't a recommendation particularly. I did go to the cinema on Saturday this week to watch Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, which is one of my all-time favourite films, at the Prince Charles Cinema. Now, the Prince Charles Cinema is at Leicester Square here. It's got three or four screens. It's probably a building that's been around since the 60s. And I realise this is all a bit London-centric again, but if you are coming to London, please have a look at the Prince Charles Theatre and see what's on. They mainly show old films, and they can be 10 years old, 5 years old, 20 years old, 50 years old. Like, they do a whole good cross-section of movies. But if you're in town for a few hours and you know, you go into a show in the evening, you're looking for something to do in the afternoon. It's a brilliant cinema. It's one of those cinemas that slopes upwards.
Yes.
So you sit in a chair and look up towards the screen. Sorry, I had a kind of Coke Zero there. They've got current films on as well, but is that Brendan Fraser at
yeah,
the Prince
so
Charles?
Yeah, so he's at the Prince Charles and he did a surprise intro
God,
for the mummy.
God, that's fantastic, yeah.
So they showed the mummy there, but actually Brendan Fraser was actually
was there
and went and did the intro.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's the kind of stuff that they do. Also, I just wanted to say, because you said it was a bit London-centric, and when we did the pod on Monday, I mentioned this as well, that I think it's worth saying that it might be worth doing a trip down to London.
Yes, go to the Entrecote.
You know, go to the Entrecote, maybe go to the... the Switch Museum?
Oh, Twist.
The Twist Museum. Uh-huh. And then go to the Prince Charles Theatre. And that would be an amazing 2 days.
It'd be great, you know.
You could really make a night of it.
Yeah, yeah. Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind is currently on Netflix as well. And I have recommended it before, but I'd never seen it on the big screen before. Me and Joel.
Haven't you?
No, I've only ever seen it on sort of my laptop for the first time, and then I've seen it on TV a few times. But me and Joel has fallen in love with the film as well. My youngest son, who's 17, so we both went to see it together, and we both sobbed.
Yeah.
Neither of us could look at each other.
So sweet.
But oh my God, there's a bit towards the end where there's a mechanic within the film where they both get to hear all the true reasons why they want to break up with each other. Mm. And they both get to hear this cassette tape playing of the reasons. And oh, my God, it's painful.
Mm.
And then they realise that there's a possibility that they might want to remain in love. And then there's just this scene in this corridor outside his room where he says, please don't go. And she goes, why? And he goes, I don't know. I just don't want to go. You know, it's just like me and both Joel was just like...
they are good in that, aren't they?
Oh, God. They are so good in it.
They are.
The performances of them both, the script, everything about that film is just...
We were talking about... Because the lady I was with today on Long Lost Family had got a message for her birthday from Ben Fogel, and she said she fancied Ben Fogel so bad. She's 74. She's like, I love Ben Fogel so much. Like, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the nicest guy. And I was like, I know Ben Fogel. He really is the nicest guy. And then we had a who would you want a video message. You got me one from Kate Beckinsale, which
made my
birthday. I mean, I've life done. Like,
I couldn't believe the fact that I messaged her and she messaged me back. I was like, I'm in an actual conversation with Kate.
It was like the best thing ever. She's because she is my absolute favourite woman. She's so funny. She looks like she just has such a laugh. So I loved that.
Yeah.
And so then I asked everybody else who would, you know, who do you want a video from? Like, if you could have a video of anyone.
It's a really good question,
and
actually.
My series producer on Long Lost Family said Kate Winslet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's
amazing,
a good one.
Kate Winslet. She's,
I've done her hair a couple of times.
She's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, a long time ago. But she's just... knockout.
Mm.
That's a good question, though, for our listeners. If you wanted a video message from somebody, who would it be? Maybe you could send us a few in. We'll read them out next
week. Who would yours be?
Probably Bono. You know.
Written that down as well?
Yeah. I think so.
Maybe if he did your happy birthday this year.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I'd be well chuffed about that. I would say a video message from Paul Weller would be quite interesting, but he's a bit too doer, I think. I think he'd just look a bit irritated that he'd been forced to do it, so that would make me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could get me Bono, that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we should do shout outs.
Yeah, we're going to do
shout outs. Because I think it's probably quite a long pod now.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
The
is.
Awful thing probably is that we can't remember who we shouted out.
No.
We've moved them into.
But I'm going to. I think we might be able to claw some of them back.
Oh, really?
Well, there's one that just came up. So let's do that, and then I'll save. We'll save the Jeff Beck chat for next week.
Yes.
Jeff Beck sadly passed away, but we had a little chat about him.
Let the dust settle.
Let's let the dust settle and we'll have a little chat about him next thing. This is from Wendy Bell. Wendy Bell has messaged us today, Wednesday at 16:41. Say hello to all the gang. I'm just sending a movie recommendation over Bank of Dave on Netflix. Now, Bank of Dave is about Dave Fishwick, a good northern lad. I think he's from Bury.
You've interviewed him a couple of times, haven't you?
I have met Dave a few times. We were on a panel together talking about business. me being a business guru and everything. and then he came in and talked a bit about what Bank of Dave was, because he couldn't actually open a bank. That was the problem. You know, like the Institute of Banking or whoever it is, the governing body.
I have talked about this a lot.
Yeah, I've never given a banking license.
I wanted to open a bank.
Yes, didn't you? And you invested in a little banking idea.
A small banking idea that I think should have gone on. It was a bank that got children to spend and save.
Yes, it was a great
brilliant idea. Yeah. And then I thought they should then just automatically go into the adult version of that bank. Mm. But then they had to go to a different bank, and then everybody started setting up kids' cards and everything. Anyway, it didn't work.
He couldn't call it Bank on Dave in the end. They couldn't call it Bank of Dave. They had to call it Bank on Dave.
Why?
Because he couldn't open a bank.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a brilliant story, and it looks really good. It's on Netflix.
I love
the
actor that plays Dave.
Yes,
he's
me
so
too.
Good.
I think he's really good.
So funny.
7.3 on IMDb. It says here it's hilarious, heartwarming, feel good movie. I think I'll watch it again.
Thank
Wendy
you,
says.
Wendy.
But we did read out that very recommendation from somebody else.
Yes.
But that we lost in the recording. So
sorry.
Whoever else has sent in.
We appreciate it.
The Bank of Dave. We really
also,
appreciate
on a listener's recommendation, I've started Kaleidoscope.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, well, I'd love to know a bit more about that. Mm-hmm. That would be good. So yesterday, Emma Barton says, "Hello, guys. Happy New Year and all that. This is not necessarily a shout-out, but I know how you love your music, and I thought I'd share with you my lovely boyfriend's hobby Insta page. Oh, I know I'm biased. He's a record producer. Oh, and he started up this page a few years ago to help him mentally cope with without being with his children, divorce, close brackets. Found it cathartic, and it brought him so much joy as he creates in his mind the best playlist are." I mean, I can totally relate to this. I love nothing more than playing music, a guitar, a piano. I'm not very good. It doesn't matter. It's a really cathartic release if you're stressed or anxious about anything. So this is fantastic.
What's it called?
He posts every Sunday his love song, mainly just for him and his friends. But some of the songs he picks, you are like, wow, I haven't heard that for ages. So he obviously puts together playlists. It's called Sunday_song_worship. And he's called Jason Perry. He's got 1,317 followers. And he's obviously got loads. Oh, they're really good, yeah, because it's got the Specials there, U2, Keane, Jeff Beck.
Oh, wow. Funny we were talking
about. Yes, isn't it? Just Justin Hawkins. Oh, Ghost Stories from Coldplay was one of my favourites. Metallica.
Wow.
Now that's what I call dad rock. I would buy that record. So this looks good. Reef, The Clash, London Calling. Oh, great. I'm gonna give you a follow right now. Sunday Song Worship, it's called, and he's called Jason Perry. Give him a follow back. That's a great recommendation.
That's a really
Emma
good
Barton. Thank you.
Recommendation. Thank you. Because we also like recommending things that money can't buy, like it's,
oh, it's just great
something
a
that's just going to make your life better.
Our good friend Morgana Robinson sent us a playlist. Maybe about 6 months ago.
The best gift she's ever given us. Well, that anybody's ever given us.
And
because I still don't think we've heard the...
It's 13 hours long. So we've not heard it all in its entirety. But also, because it's her playlist that she shared with us, as she updates it, we get the updates.
Mm.
So occasionally we're listening to it and in slides a new song and you go,
we're like, what?
What's going on? But it is a brilliant thing to do.
13 hours is the best gift ever.
I'm so grateful she shared it with us because to compile a good playlist for 13 hours
takes you years.
It just takes years and so much effort, and it's brilliant.
It is a good present for someone, a playlist.
Yes.
Isn't it?
You got me thinking. I've got till October to
formulate one. You made me the best playlist ever.
Yeah.
You did an advent playlist for me.
Oh, I did. I did an advent calendar
playlist.
We talked
about that at Christmas,
songs,
but it was the best thing ever.
Emma Barton, thank you.
We should post that.
Yes, we should probably
Christmas
actually.
This year.
Christmas, yeah. Sue McConkie. McConkie?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. thank you. I stumbled across your podcast a few weeks ago. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I got recommended to find a little pocket of sunshine in every day. You two do that for me on your podcast day, which I save for a travel to work day. I hope your energy...
Susie.
I love your energy. Love of life and
that's
feel
so
you
nice.
Are the friends next door. We are your friends next door.
That's so lovely.
Susie McConkie. I love your surname, McConkie. That's such a great surname.
It's quite good, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Yeah, there's so many things you could do with it.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about setting up a business, Susie McConkie, I think there's things we can do with that name. All sorts of logos and things. I can feel my brain springing to life. It's a joy to hear from a new listener.
It really is.
Listener.
Hello.
It's also nice to listen from the old ones as well, you know. Nicholas Anderson, just listening to your latest podcast, I have watched loads of your movie series recommendations, Slow Horses.
Oh, my God, yes.
OMFG, one of the best. I wanted to recommend Taboo, a BBC iPlayer drama series from 2017, set in the 1800s. New series coming out this year. Tom Hardy is the lead, but lots of other great actors.
Taboo,
in it too.
Sounds great.
I've not seen it, but I've seen it advertised a lot. A bit violent and gory in places, but definitely worth a watch.
I used to go to a club in the 80s and 90s called Taboo. Lee Bowery, very amazing.
Yeah.
Camp, everybody, you know, if you weren't wearing next to nothing, you didn't get in. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to read that one? Because I've got one last one to mention just before we
I'm just writing to recommend the above. I listen every week and get so much out of every podcast. Thank you. This is from Kerry and Duffy P.
Yeah? Hmm. Oh, okay. It's photography, I think. Kerry. Oh, my God.
Kerry and Duffy. Yes. Kerry and Duffy. Kerry Ann. Kerry Ann Duffy. Photography. Yes.
Okay,
she does lovely wedding photos.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you want to get your wedding photos done, go to Kerry Ann Duffy Photography. But she listens every week and she loves it. It's our pleasure. I read this book by Beth O'Leary and it's now been made into a series and it is just brilliant. Can't recommend it high enough, even if you haven't read the book. Modern Day Room.
Rom-com.
Fucking hell.
I love the fact that I'm correcting you for once.
Yeah, but
this
I can't
brilliant.
See. It's too far. Okay. Modern day rom-com, six-part, feel-good. Jessica Brown Finley and Anthony Welsh are amazing. But what's it called?
Is it this one here?
Ah.
The Flat Share.
Oh, hello.
Good.
Right.
Okay. I love the sound of this.
I know. I've heard about the premise of this, that they have to share a bed. It's not...
There's
a single room.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's two people sharing a flat, but they also are sharing a bed. Love that. Flat share. Great. Thank you, Kerry Ann Duffy. Sorry, I can't read, can't do anything, can't speak.
That's okay. I just want to say one last one, which is that, as you know, this week in my studio, the great Rossi D. Woods and his dad came to visit.
Oh, my God.
They were in town. They knocked on the door. I don't know how they knew where I was or anything like that, because I haven't got my address. But
oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. They found you.
They found me. So it was a real joy and a treat, because he's really funny, Rossi. He did tell me that his name isn't Woods.
What?
It's quite good, isn't it?
Don't tell us.
I'm not going to tell him what it is.
He is Rossi D. Woods in my heart.
And his dad as well. And they were just really good fun. But what was interesting, when I posted that on my Instagram, Joe Manley got in touch, who's called Keekness on Instagram, and said, oh, wow, I was the one who recommended Rossi. And she was. I remember reading out Joe's recommendation.
That's so
she
good.
Said, you're going to love this guy. He's really funny. And then we watched him and went, right, we'll follow him, you know. And then, obviously, he went big.
There, I fucking said it.
So I just want to say a big thank you, Joe Manley.
Oh,
because
my God, Joe, he's made our life.
Every time I hear from Rossi or I have a chat with him or whatever online, I always think, who recommended him to us? Because I must say thanks, you know.
And the other thing...
So, Joe Manley, thank you.
That's marvellous is I think him and his dad are possibly looking at television.
Oh, yeah.
We were saying Gogglebox is a must.
They should absolutely do it.
Must.
Yeah. No worries about that, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks. Sorry, it's been
I'm
going to
go and rub some oestrogen on my arm right now.
Yeah, can I get some as well? What would be the best... Where would be the best place to rub it? Okay. See you later, everybody. Take care. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.